I just wanted to read a chapter in Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off with which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It was just something I was thinking about, how I feel like the works of the flesh are often mixed up with works in the flesh. And I think you can do the works of the Spirit, or I know you can do the works of the Spirit in the flesh. It's just, the works of the flesh we must put far away from us. That's all I had. Thank you. Comment or correct?
Could you maybe explain what you mean?
Yeah, so we're in the flesh. We're living in physical bodies, but we are called to live above the fleshly nature that we are born with, and works of righteousness, which would be loving and being patient and being humble and not fulfilling the works of the flesh, which would be things that we tend to do, like I read, hatred, malice, envy, those types of things. That answer your question, or what?
I thought you were expressing it in a way of like the kind of charitable deeds we might do.
Sure.
In the flesh.
Yeah, you could. Helping someone fix a tire.
That I think explains a little more.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the reading and what you shared. I appreciate the thoughts you shared, but I could understand why there was a request for more explanation, because I think without a little explanation, sometimes people get kind of lost in, what's that? And somehow we have the idea that the scripture is always, or I don't know if we have the idea. Some people have the idea that the spirit is always speaking like kind of against the flesh. But if you look, I mean, it's been a while since I've done an exhaustive search, but it almost always, when it's talking against it, it's talking against the lusts of the flesh. It's talking against the works of the flesh. It's talking against the desires of the flesh and not the flesh. We'll say, you know, we'll have ideas. We'll have ideas and inspirations, and then we'll say, let's flesh this out, which basically means, like, let's now put our boots on and roll up our sleeves and make it, you know, bring it into fruition, which is fleshing out an idea. And so in the same way, I think that is exactly what Jesus was the fleshed out image of God, of what spirit. And the denial of that, like the denial that he was here in flesh and fleshed out what God is like in flesh, is the spirit of Antichrist. And that's why I think it is good, has been good for my understanding to like make that distinction between the works of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, and recognize like, yeah, that thing in me, that thing in my flesh as a human being that wants to like, that, you know, whatever, gets offended and rises up and wants to lash out or wants to hit back or seeks for security in fleshly things or all those kind of things. Like, those are the desires of the flesh. Jesus showed us exactly what it looks like when the flesh is in subjection to the spirit. And when he cried out there at the garden, it says his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. Anyway, appreciate thinking about that. Maybe one more thing. Okay, like in the same way that the scripture talks about, I don't know if the scripture ever uses the term fruits of the flesh. Does anybody know? It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit are not the Spirit. They are the fruits of the Spirit. And then in the same way, like the, or at least in a similar way, the works of the flesh are these things that are flesh desires, or they're the fruits or actions of fleshliness or carnality, earthliness. But you know, that flesh, as we learn in Christ and through becoming a new creature in Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit, and that flesh can be brought into subjection to the Spirit, Christ.
On the coattails of what you shared, Dwayne, the closest thing I can come just immediately that came to mind was Jesus' description of false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. That was the thing that came to mind when you said that. I guess there is bad or poisonous fruit.
Thank you, Brother Comper. And there's so much into that, just that one chapter. There's three verse 6, 14, and 22 have one word in common. Does anyone know what it is? 6, 14, and 22 have one word in common. I'll just read 14. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So there's three times it's mentioned in three different verses, love. And Paul says, of course, in Romans, owe nothing to no man except to love him. And John, of course, in his letter says, love is what manner of love? Well, love is, he mentions love a lot in his first epistle, John, and love is the greatest of those things. Paul says in Corinthians, right? Now abide faith, hope, and love. And yeah, it can be an emotional thing, you know, love, emotional, but putting in action would be more or less, like we're going to talk about in 1 Peter, suffering love. Did you love the people that put you in jail for 5 years, Brother DeJean? Did you love them? You love your enemies. Love, that's what we're going to be judged on, love. The Lord be magnified.
Well, thank you, Compa. I think you touched a very sensitive point of our human beings, or how could I say it? It is a very crucial point in our lives, especially because we are followers of Christ now by His grace. And you have here contextually, you can see that you have Paul talking to the Jews. He's talking to his people according to the flesh, and there are some which were converted to Christianity. And there is a verse which is very interesting to take into account now into our discussion. It's verse 25, where it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I think here we have to look into that, because that's going to unlock something. It makes easier to understand all that battle, that spiritual battle. Because according to the flesh, Paul says, we like, not according to, where is that? It's in, I think it's in another epistle where it says, we like the law of God, or something similar. Can someone help me with finding that scriptures? According to the inner man or something, we like. You don't remember that, Mom?
Robert? I think it's Romans.
I could find it by any time.
Could you quote it again?
I don't
know. Can
you say it again? To say it again. So Paul says somewhere in other places, according to my inner man, I like the law of God.
It's Romans. Yeah.
Hmm?
It's Romans.
I think it's Romans, but
Romans 7:22 maybe. Mm-hmm.
Can you find it? Where is it? Right, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, verse 22, chapter 8, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And here we have verse 25, where it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we like living in the Spirit, but the problem is very often walking in the Spirit. Many people have the Spirit, but not many people are led by the Spirit. And there is a huge difference. The Lord was rebuking the Pharisees about their hypocrisy. And that was probably the most known rebuke we can see, or repeated rebuke about the Pharisees. They have been hypocritical. And I can tell you, and probably I wouldn't confess too much, you know, in my life, I can see there's sections where I'm being hypocritical, or I'm choosing something against the will of the Lord. And even if I know it's not good, even if I know it's not profitable, even if I know it's not leading me in a good direction, but everybody else is, I live in the Spirit. So what Paul is talking here is to take these two together, to put these two together, living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And that's the lesson in that section. Thank you. It's very provocative, but I think it's worth to study it in more detail, because it's revealing a lot of things. Thank you.
Just throw this one out. A little leaven lumpens the whole lump. What's the leaven? Any brother? I could be wrong in this. Gotta be humble. But what's the leaven that's gonna leaven the whole lump? What would it be? What's the little? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what's the leaven that would leaven this? Give him a.
Is it not sin?
Yeah. Specifically, what sin? What? Oh, specifically, I'm trying to pinpoint it. Paul talks about it in the first chapter. Any other gospel, let it be accursed. I say again, any other gospel, let it be accursed. So what is that gospel? What is that leaven? One word begins with C. Well, C would entail. It's the gospel of circumcision. It's the circumcision. And, you know, if you're going to teach, you got to be circumcised, you're fallen from grace. Same thing in Romans. It's like that. The Lord be magnified. You can correct me in that.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing.
Just me on the cross.
Rise up, O man of God, hath the men answered thee? Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God.
Beautiful stream, it's one so free.